Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Robert Tran.
Hello.
What's going on? OC comic extraordinaire.
Yeah. Extraordinaire.
Local hero.
I wouldn't say local hero. I would say probably local overrated comic.
Okay. you're bigging yourself up. I love
it. Yeah, yeah.
And also, you were going before the podcast, like, have you ever just deleted an episode because it sucked? Yeah. Have more confidence, Robert Tran.
No, I have none.
You're a master.
No.
You're an angsty comic, though, which means you're legit if you're always moody and insecure and, you know, think that your stuff stinks. That's being a comic.
I'm extremely insecure.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
You've been diagnosed a comic, my friend. You posted this to Facebook. I didn't eat French fries and drink soda for the first time since my workout regimen, and now I want to kill somebody.
Yes.
So you're trying to lose weight, you're cutting out carbs, you're putting a regimen.
Well, I don't know if I'm... Well, here's the thing. I work full time now. It's
right.
A real, you know, real readjustment to being unemployed for over a year.
Uh-huh.
Now I work 40 hours a week
uh-huh.
in an office in a cubicle,
uh-huh.
and there is a gym upstairs. And so, you know, just to beat traffic, I started going, and I've gone every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I feel good. You know, mm-hmm. I need to cut out fucking fries and soda. Oh, can I curse on this thing?
Yeah, of course. Podcast.
Yeah. Fucking. Fries.
So fries and soda are the hardest
the
thing
yeah.
to cut out.
I mean, last night I had...
And after a big workout, you're like, you're famished.
I just want some fries and soda. But yesterday, like last night, I didn't want to eat the rest of my rice and pork. So to compromise, I had 6 pieces of macadamia chocolate.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, I rationalized it. So like, well, you know, I have to eat this now so I won't get hungry later. So I'm actually losing weight by eating chocolate. That's
yeah.
how my brain works. That's
when
how...
I shove 6 chocolates in my body yeah. really fast, I'll burn it off quick. So then,
yeah.
and then I can eat chocolates later.
That's really how I look at things.
You
I'm
know what I mean? I'm ahead right now.
That's how I get, you get a food addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say like, you know, I better eat a big breakfast so I can shit, and that's how you lose weight, is by shitting.
Right.
So every day I have a breakfast burrito at 10 o'clock, even though I've had breakfast at home.
Right.
The breakfast burrito has... Oh, dude, I'm getting so hungry.
That's a second breakfast.
Yeah, it's a second breakfast. It has hash browns, bacon, sausage, mm-hmm. instead of a giant tortilla. It's the biggest...
But if you eat that real fast,
yeah.
it doesn't really count because you just push it in.
Yeah, and then I shit right afterwards, and it's like, oh, well, I've got skinnier.
Hey, when you're shitting 10 pounds of burrito, you're losing weight, right?
That's how I look at it.
Eat 15 pounds of burrito next time. Stay ahead of your body. Trick it.
All right. Thanks.
So you're
thanks
also a big fan of wrestling.
I'm the
you
biggest
You have another
fan.
Guilty pleasure there.
I am the biggest fan of wrestling. I've been watching wrestling for 21 years now. Oh, shit. How old am I? 23 years now. I always say 21 years, but I can't believe I'm 27 now. I've been watching since I was 4 years old, mm-hmm. before kindergarten.
And who's your... Like, I was into The Undertaker.
Oh, he's still around.
Yeah.
He's still wrestling.
It's weird. Like, in middle school, I was into it for maybe, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
Then I kind of... But I always liked the fact that he was kind of gothic. He had a different thing going on.
Yeah.
He was in his mood. He yeah. could wrestle and chokeslam you, and then, you know, he wouldn't look that satisfied with himself.
he would was just, like, really angry,
He
right?
was still just like, ah! You know?
That's how he is in real life, too.
Yeah.
His name is Mark Calloway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I know all
Ooh,
these...
pulling the veil around.
yeah. And, he's like the locker room leader. He would, I don't know, I've been watching wrestling.
What does the locker room leader mean?
Oh, just like...
He would whip everyone with a towel?
Yeah, he just comes up and just... No, he is the one that like guides all the wrestlers and gives them all the advice and everything. Like the godfather. Not the pimp wrestler. The godfather isn't.
Yeah.
The Michael Corleone of the locker room.
He's like, you want to body slam me?
Yeah.
You what? You little piece of shit with your fucking stupid gimmick.
You're
some leprechaun, man. Get the fuck out of here with that shit, you know?
The leprechaun, though, have you seen that? There's a little leprechaun.
Right.
Yeah,
but how is the leprechaun going to body slam the Undertaker? It's not physically work into a story.
Yeah.
You know, and so when there's like big plot gaps, the Undertaker's like the godfather. He'll fix him up.
Yeah,
you know?
he will.
He
yeah.
might have to break one of the leprechaun's knee that day so he can't perform that night. You know, he'll work dirty, but...
It sounds like you have all the inside scoop on wrestling.
I just think that, you know, if he's the godfather, he's gonna, you know...
yeah, no, I agree with you.
Impose his plot points. Anyway.
Wait, what are we talking about now?
You just finished watching all 12 discs of Raw 20th Anniversary Collection DVD, and now I have nothing else to live for. That was the peak?
It was 50 hours. 50 hours of the best... Oh, my God.
How many days?
It took... Well, I was on vacation with my girlfriend, and I brought along my portable DVD player, and I just spent most of my time watching.
Where were you?
I was in Maine and Vermont, visiting her family.
Visiting her family.
So I go upstairs and just watch wrestling.
Right.
For hours
instead
and
of
hours.
Dealing with her parents, yapping at you.
No, we hung out, but you know, then you know, there's only so much you can do. Go back upstairs and watch the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna canoe for you idiots for an hour, and then it's back to fucking
WWF
disc 11 Raw.
I finished all 12 discs in a week.
So there's 50 minutes of wrestling, or is there a bunch of packaging in between?
No. It's the 20 best episodes of Raw ever. Right. Like they say, uncut and unedited, but they edited out all of the Chris Benoit. You know, the guy that killed his family.
Right.
So it was
really
weird. They're
just kind of erasing him.
Oh,
from
it was
history.
So weird. No. He was.
Didn't he have a finishing move where he would tie his opponent to wrestling equipment?
No, that was how he killed himself. The Bowflex bomb. No, it was called the Crippler Crossface. But here's what was so fucked up about it. I'm watching the DVD and I'm really curious to see what they're going to do because there's a Benoit match on here, right? And then all of a sudden, they skip his entrance, but he's in the ring. And I'm like, "What? How the fuck did he get in the ring?" And then whenever he'd get tagged in, they would edit out all the commentary. But he was still in the ring wrestling. And then all of a sudden you could hear, "Oh, crit! He's got him in!" And then you would hear a tap and then the bell would ring. You're like, "Oh, shit, they just edited out..."
They edited out every time they would reference Chris Benoit.
Yeah, but he was obviously right there. Isn't that weird?
That's crazy.
Like, it's actually scarier that way. It's like you're watching a ghost.
Right.
You know,
I wonder if that's how things are in North Korea. Yeah. If anyone, like, says anything against Kim Jong-un online, he's just assassinated in every rebroadcast. Mysteriously, you can't hear those words of criticism.
Chris Benoit is their North Korea. Actually, there's a WWE memo saying Benoit is our North Korea.
Yeah.
There's heavy
censorship protocols around that.
Yeah.
Wife murder and family murder and motherfucker on steroids.
That is not the peak of my life, by the way. It's WWE Network just got announced, which it's going to be nonstop wrestling.
Right.
1,500 hours on this thing. And $10 a month.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get it on February 24th.
Does it give you all the pay-per-views?
Every pay-per-view.
To give you new ones.
Yes, every single one.
Wow.
Yeah, and they will not be editing out Chris Benoit on that one. There's a memo out. It will say there will be a disclaimer before Benoit comes out. I don't know what the disclaimer will be. Hey, this guy killed his family. Very disgraceful.
But he's a good wrestler.
Yeah, he's a great wrestler. Yeah.
Right.
He couldn't wrestle his emotions away. All right, go ahead. Next.
Couldn't wrestle with his steroid addiction.
All right, go ahead, man.
You posted this to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
The dude next to me just spit in the urinal 7 times while peeing and then left the bathroom. That's almost like an Oswald thing. Like, how many shots can you get off in one piss? Where it's like, hey, that's a rickety, you know, rifle he was using. How many shots can you get off? So seven spits during one pee is pretty impressive statistics.
It was gross.
Then left the bathroom without washing his hands. It just ruined my whole week.
It was disgusting.
Is that our cross to bear as comics? We just notice everything, and it like affects us emotionally, and so that's why like when we in stand up we talk about the minutia because how people are just fucking pigs like this.
Yeah.
Really bothers us.
I think you know what it is. It's the inconsideration. But it's my fault because like.
Well, where would you have him spit? Let's be honest.
In the
urinal.
Sink?
Oh, he spat in the sink?
No, if he could spit in the sink instead of the urinal while he's peeing.
Well, you have to... What? Why is that better?
I don't know. Why are you... Like, what are you... Like, I never got why guys pee in the urinal while they're... Like, what did I say? Spit... They're like, what, you're spitting, like, away from your dick while you're... It's, like, fucking disgusting. Like...
Yeah.
I don't... I have this whole process when I'm in the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And my workplace, by the way, has a bidet. Which is that I just sit there sometimes and just clean my butthole with
right.
the water.
You're like, hey robot, give me a rim job for 20 minutes.
And that's actually where I hear a lot of these things that happen next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he knew I was in there. And he's it's like, how much fucking do you have to spit, you know,
right.
Like, or just swallow it, you know, swallow your spit. And I don't know, it's disgusting. But this is what I have to do. Like if I'm in the urinal, I have to actually like grab a piece of tissue paper. And I dab my dick after I'm done peeing so that it doesn't drip.
Wow. You don't get any... Isn't that what the boxers are for? The boxers can take a dribble or two.
It's disgusting.
That's their burden.
That is disgusting to me also. And I don't like that I have to be the guy that hides
You don't shake afterward?
I do shake. I shake and then I
do
you know.
What do you do with the paper after? Is it a handkerchief that you keep in your pocket?
I grab I grab the paper towels.
Yeah.
I pretend that I'm going to use it to blow my nose if someone else is in there. And then
you have a cover story.
And I hold on to it. And then after I just stand there until the person next to me leaves. And I dab my dick.
Whoa, you dab your dick next to the paper towel thing?
While I'm peeing. Like
you grab it on the way in.
Yeah,
bring it with you to
bring
urinal.
To the urinal.
Gotcha.
And I pee, and then I clean my dick, but I hide it because I don't want people to think I'm jacking off or something at the urinal.
Right.
And then
your cover story for that? If someone walks behind and sees you going at it, and you know that they've seen your elbow move from behind a lot, dabbing at your dick, what are you gonna say?
If that ever happens, which has not, I'm gonna show them paper towel and go, look, dude, I'm just cleaning my dick. What the fuck do you want from me? And then I'll get really defensive.
And then throw it in their face.
Throw it in their face and get fired from work.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Pull a pet. Like, remember that guy who, JetBlue, when he quit, he, like, pulled the emergency slide.
Yeah, that guy was awesome.
Slid down. Yeah, and was like, "Fuck everybody."
And then he went home and fucked his boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I would. Yeah, dab my dick, throw it in their face, and then...
Have champagne.
Yeah,
deal with the consequences tomorrow.
And then go fuck my boyfriend.
There you go. Hey, you're already watching 50 hours of Raw. You might as well go fuck your boyfriend.
Which Nathan Camp has said is gayer than gay sex.
Speaking of gay sex, you have a girlfriend, Kate Gary.
Yes,
you both won ComedyFilter.com Comic of the Month.
Yep.
Who runs that operation?
I have no idea.
Who runs that operation, Robert Tran?
Don't look at me, man. I don't know how I won it. Well, I do know I entered it and I won.
You entered your name and you got the newsletter?
Yeah. So it's not like they chose me. I actually think they chose Kate. Like, Kate, I think, deserved it. Like, someone recommended her.
Right.
But mine was more like, oh, yeah, but you've been recommended by other people, so it's good. It's cool that you... Like, no, I wasn't. Fucking liar. I have no idea who runs it. But I'm honored, you know.
Is it Evan Cassidy?
No, it's not Evan. I mean, if it was Evan, this is a well-kept secret. I think he would post it, though. He would really try to grind that out.
What do you mean?
Evan's a grinder. Evan
right.
does not, like, keep things from people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you keeping that? Now, you got the napkin from the coffee. Are you going to keep that to dab your dick later?
No, I mean, there's a stall in the bathroom, so I can just pretend I'm pooping and just sit down to pee. So
Why is it always you have to pretend you're pooping? You have to pretend you're like a French agent. Just dab your dick, man.
I have a really bad body image issues. Like, the first time I had sex with Kate, I mean...
Right, you lost your virginity.
I lost my virginity.
And you're 27 now, so you were 26 at this time.
And I wouldn't let her see me undress.
So she just had to...
I asked her to turn around and brace herself when
but
she
you,
saw me.
You could see, she could see you naked, but she couldn't see the process of you undressing?
Yes.
So then did you just get a robe and just go, wah, all at once?
No, I just went, all right, here it is.
So you just lay in bed and be like, okay, I guess do the thing now?
Yeah, kind of. That's kind of how it happened.
Make that happen for me, please?
Yeah, can you teach me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, then we had...
Did she tap your deck after you were done?
No.
Like a lady?
No, I don't think so.
What was the cover story? You and your girlfriend have gotten a fight in the latest episode of the Power Couple podcast.
We did.
I played some of that outrageous fight on Kate's episode, so let's play some of those clips.
All right, I didn't need to over-direct you. I just was like... I wasn't trying to direct... I was like... I don't know.
God, is the afterglow already worn off?
Yeah, I don't know why you got so upset. I wasn't trying to order you around.
Maybe I'm starting to get nervous about the Unurban show.
You might be getting nervous, because you usually don't get upset about this stuff. You told me not to be a doormat, and now I'm actually speaking up about things and...
Shut up, doormat!
Oh, God. Are we still fighting?
No, we're good.
Are you sure? You look kind of upset.
No. Something would happen, and you'd go, you know... Are you still mad? Are you still mad? Are we okay? Are we good now? You know, you kind of like want it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have that thought. As soon as something goes wrong, you're like, oh, can we, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I really need to fix that.
So are you going to therapy or anything? You got to...
No, I'm on Prozac.
Uh-huh.
I have to just remember, you know, not everything is forever. Like, I always think, okay, she's mad at me. She'll be mad at me forever. This is going to be... This
right.
She's had it. She didn't break up with me, right?
Right, right, right.
That's why I'm always checking to see if she's upset.
That flashes through your head.
Are we still fighting?
Yeah, I have a bit of OCD.
You throwing the dozen roses down. Someone honks in the background. You drop your beer, and you're like, what? It's over? Like, this just, like, this goes through your head a bunch of times.
No.
Are you sure? You look kind of upset. Are we still fighting?
I don't know if this is going to make sense to you, okay?
Okay.
I have really bad OCD, as in every single time I leave my car, even if it's morning time, and I didn't turn my headlights on, I've got to check to see if my headlights are on, right? Now, take that same concept when it comes to love. Like, every now and then, if me and her aren't hanging out, I'll just have this glimpse of, she doesn't love me anymore, I better text her to see. She didn't just suddenly break up with me in her head.
Yeah.
You know, like, which is really bad, because that OCD just means, like, it's almost like you believe in a higher power, but this higher power is just working against you. So, in a way, it's like, in my head, is that Kate is an extension of my imagination, which is bad.
Right.
You know,
because there's like two Kates. There's like the one that's out there and then the one that's in your head.
In my head, which is not real.
Right.
Because she's a real person.
Right.
So that's why I'm working on that a lot. Because she is way smarter than I am. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that about a lot of people, but she's, you know, she's fucking brilliant. And she knows what I'm doing right away, and she'll like say what I'm doing and laugh at me, making me realize how dumb it sounds, even though I know I feel it's true.
Right.
So she'll be like, yeah, like sarcastically go, yeah, Robert, I just suddenly decided I don't love you anymore. Like, just how absurd
right.
And I'm like, I know this sounds absurd, but is it true? Like, it's still like, yeah. She'll just start laughing at me. And now I'm at the point now where if I'm too happy, I'll find things that are wrong in the moment.
Right.
And she started doing this thing that's really funny. I'll go like, oh, I eat too much, I feel fat. And she'll just laugh and go, what else? And I go, I don't know how to get home. So she'll, what else? And she'll just keep saying what else and laugh at me. Until I realize that this is all bullshit that I'm worried about, so.
And I'm kind of itchy in these new pajama pants.
Yeah.
What else? And my bunny slippers.
And someone might catch me dabbing my dick.
And so I needed a cover story, and then I was caught dabbing my dick. He thought I was masturbating. It was just a little bit off the tip.
Why don't you just shake, man? I shake.
You can, like, flick your dick in a way, and that last droplet will go shooting gloriously into the urinal.
My dick is like a leaky
You can spit dude. Seven times before that drop hits the ground.
That's disgusting.
I don't know.
See, look, I'm going overly clean. Why do I have to hide that I'm dabbing my dick and people can just openly spit? It's bullshit, dude.
Some other guy. I'm going to be jerking off in the next urinal next to you one day. And you're going to go, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm smearing Purell into it. You think you're clean. Okay, I'm taking it to the next level. I don't care if it looks like I'm masturbating.
I've thought about doing that before, by the way.
I'm jerking the Purell into my dick.
I've thought about like using Purell to clean my dick, but I imagine that would hurt really bad.
It would kind of sting.
Yeah,
it would
probably be a lot of chemicals in there that aren't supposed to be in the dick sanitizer. I apologize.
So what's going on with the Power Couple podcast?
We
had three episodes, and then I couldn't really download it off Libsyn. It asked me for a password, so then I was like, oh, God, I'm trying to do research. I'm trying to, you know, put this fight into my podcast, which let's put some more of that fight in there.
Yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up at that.
No, I haven't answered the question yet.
Wait, what question?
Shut. You don't remember the question. Like, this is... Oh, God.
I thought we were answering
it. No, you answered it. Are we still fighting?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we mad? What's going on with the podcast?
We got this like kind of impulse to do it for a while, and one day I just turned on the recorder. I'm like, all right, let's just not overanalyze this, because she and I overanalyze everything.
Right.
And she wanted to be more prepared, and I didn't want to be prepared, but you know. And then I realized I needed more preparation, you know. And I think that it was just like, it's too much work to do a podcast. I don't know how you do it every week. You gotta figure out a way to talk for an hour and a half and be interesting. And it sounds easy.
You really have to prepare. Look at all this shit I got here.
It's the worst. Like,
it's no fucking around.
I wanted to do an album last year. I think I was on the verge of doing a really good 45. But then, you know what happened is, this 10 minutes became so good that the rest of the 35 became shit compared to it.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'm not ready for an album.
Right.
Like, I can put out a shitty one, or even like an okay one, but then, you know, I don't want people to buy and go, oh, well, this is not very good.
You can put out like a Keith Carey album.
I didn't say it. I didn't say it, Keith.
I'll probably cut that out.
No? Oh, you are?
I don't know.
Well, then I agree with you.
Okay, good.
Did you listen to it?
I heard clips on the podcast. You know what I hate about some comedy? Oh, let me tell you about how I fucking almost murdered myself. That's fucking a riot. All right? How about we get our fucking shit together and we don't just dump a bunch of fucking sadness onto an audience? How about we don't fucking make everyone who's eating their fucking mashed potatoes or whatever in the audience want to just drop their fork and go, you know what? I'm just going to stab my fucking eyeball out right now, because what's the fucking point? That's not what stand-up is. The audience is not the fucking bureau of listening to your bullshit, all right? The audience is there. They're paying to be cheered up, and that's what the fucking job is.
Well, I think that there's a lot of validity to that, and I would agree with you, but you know,
if you're so fucking narcissistic that all you can talk about is your own pain, like, fucking hire a therapist.
If you can, but if you can make them laugh with it,
absolutely,
then that's fine.
Absolutely,
but if you're gonna just be saying sad things and no one's laughing, that's very selfish because you're not doing your job correctly.
Yeah,
you know, actually, I heard Jim Jefferies. You know Jim Jefferies?
Yeah.
He was on.
And I'm not saying all, like, depressing topics are taboo. Absolutely not. And I think that you should also enlighten your audience as well as make them laugh. But when it's just, like, it's just people's own pain without the writing and without the jokes.
Oh, no, yeah, I agree.
The pain is first because they're like, I'm a real comic. I'm a sad clown. Boo. I'm trying to... No, you're not. You're just kind of giving the people an ear beating about how your fucking puppy was shot.
It's also lazy.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? People actually, there are a lot of people that go, you know, you were funnier when you were sad. And I'll go back and listen. And there were times where I got major laughs, but I hated those sets. I mean, I look back at a lot of my sad stuff before I got, like, self-help and shit. I'm a mess still, but I'm kind of like a well-adjusted mess.
What self-help did you do?
It was like a book called Feeling Good, The New Mood Therapy. Mm-hmm. And it changed my life. I probably wouldn't be dating Kate without it. I probably wouldn't be doing the comedy I'm doing because of it. What happens is if you get, like, it's one thing to be sad about something and talk about it, and then you can talk about other things too. But if you're just sad,
right,
you won't be able to think about other things outside of yourself. So
right,
you actually limit yourself of what you're going to talk about.
Right.
So people that go, you know, you were funnier last year, like, they're not really listening to my material. I'm getting more consistent laughs now. I'm actually thinking about things outside of me. I'm thinking about other issues, other people, idiosyncrasies. I'm taking more risks. I love my comedy now, mm-hmm, but I hated it last year. I'll probably hate it, you know, my comedy now, like, next year. But
it's always like when after a year goes by, you're like, oh,
yeah,
because you thought about that joke obsessively for so long, and it's just so, like, obvious to you now. It's old hat.
But anyway, as I was saying about Jim Jefferies, I was really happy to hear this because Jim Jefferies does kind of a lot of sad, dark material. But mm-hmm, he said on the Nerdist podcast that he doesn't think depression is, like, a badge of honor.
Right.
And I love that guys like that are now speaking out against it.
Yeah.
So I think my theory is what happened was Louis C.K. came out with Chewed Up, and it was so good. It was like, it changed the way a lot of people did comedy.
Right.
And people actually misunderstood what he was doing with Chewed Up, you know? And then they were just like, well, I can just be sad like Louis. Because he disguises all his fucking jokes.
Right.
If you actually watch Louis's latest special called Oh My God, it's very optimistic. It's about how great it is to live on Earth. He doesn't do that shit anymore. And there's all these, like, Louis C.K. babies that are, like...
Right.
Which I used to do. And that's why I hate it so much. Like...
Tesla said that he was only able to do what he did because he stood on the shoulders of giants, meaning that the scientists who came before him,
mm-hmm,
you know, he could... And I feel like, you know, if there's a giant of comedy out there, there's going to be a lot of people, like, worshipping at the altar of Chris Rock or Dave Attell and start to sound like him.
Yeah.
For me, I think my biggest hero is probably Jim Norton. I think he's the
Norton's great.
The realest deal there is.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. So, you know, maybe my comedy is all disgusting because I think that that's just what makes me laugh the best. Because Jim Norton showed me that was true.
Jim Norton makes me laugh so much when he's on Opie and Anthony.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh actually more on the radio than he does in stand-up.
I think he's the funniest fucking dude ever.
I think he's the best radio guy I've ever heard. He's the quickest comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have nothing else to say.
And also, look at, like, Opie and Anthony are way richer than him from radio.
Yeah,
but they're fucking scared to do stand-up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's almost like...
I think Anthony would be good at it.
Yeah. They could do it, but I don't think they want to because they know how fucking tough it is.
It's very hard. Yeah. But I actually think radio is harder, so I guess, you know...
This is radio. How do you think you're doing so far?
Not good.
Not good?
No, I think I ramble on too much.
Are you really annoyed with yourself right now?
No, I guess I think that I monologue way too much. and I mumble and I have a lisp and, you know, there's all this, you know, I'm worried about how to get back home. There, yeah, I'm a mess. I don't think I'm a good guest. I think the idea of me is good.
I asked you to be on the podcast, man.
No, I know, but the idea of me is good, but like the actual execution is like something left to be desired, you know.
The idea of you?
Yeah, like I like the idea of me, like, because I, like if I step outside of myself and I go, you know, man, you know, like this guy's only been doing comedy for 2 years. He's had some amazing sets, you know, and, yeah. And you know, he always talks on podcasts. He has opinions, it's original. But, like, living as me is, like, this is, like, it's insufferable being me. So it must be insufferable for other people to listen to me, too. So there's two sides of me, I guess, you know?
What would your self-help side of yourself say about that?
Oh, the self-help would say that this is called a mind reader's fallacy. It's a mind reader's thing. It's all or nothing fallacy. There's all these, like, social, there's all these cognitive distortions is what they're called. Mm-hmm. And there are 10 main ones.
Mm-hmm.
We all do them. And then you kind of write down the distortion and write why it's basically doesn't make any sense.
So you write down your own, when you call yourself out on your bullshit, you write them down.
And then you, it's called a rational response. So let's say I write down, I am really bad at this podcast,
right?
Which I really do feel right now.
Right.
Like what I would write in response is emotional reasoning. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's true. That's number one. Number two, see how it's just fucking crazy?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be all good or all bad at something. That's all or nothing. And so maybe I'm bad at some parts. Maybe I'm so good at some other parts.
You also posted this to Facebook. Oh, I think cool. This puts another little... we're connecting the dots in Robert Tran's neuroses here. So this is another... If you're mapping out Robert Tran's brain, get out a new fucking Sharpie and a new index card. Here we go. I'm watching The Little Mermaid for the first time, and Ariel is so fucking creepy. Do you know how horrified I'd be if I regained consciousness and some lady was just singing in my face and swam away? That is a weird scene where he's kind of knocked out on the beach and she's just like, oh my god, I love this prince, man. Ah! Just that full blast.
Oh god.
And then he just like wakes up like, what's that noise? And then this fucking flipper comes out and she swims away.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah.
I fell asleep. I still haven't watched the movie. But, man, you know, it's been said ad nauseum how bad Disney films are for people, right? But I didn't realize how creepy Ariel really was. Like, was she, like, 16 years old, too?
Right, yeah.
And so I'm watching it, and I'm actually agreeing with her father. Like, why is this some fucking human that's eating all of us trying to fuck my daughter?
She's in fucking Coral High right now,
yeah.
All right? She's not old enough.
Yeah. So what is so wrong about him that he has a booming voice? That's it. That is why he's, like, wrong. That he's overprotective of his daughter, who doesn't she run away with the human guy?
Right. Well, he gives her regular feet so she can, because he's a fish god.
A creep? Xenu. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
A fish god? I don't know. Isn't he Zeus or Xenu or something?
I don't know, dude.
Triton?
Dude,
he's some kind of Greek god of the sea.
Look, fuck that movie. Part of That World is still the best Disney song ever. But what are you disagreeing with me?
Are we still fighting?
No. The Little Mermaid is kind of like Nazi Disney boner science to give adolescents their first boner.
Yeah.
Because she's this, you know, half of her is a fish body, legs. Yeah. But she's got banging set of tits.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the imagery around her, there's like, you know, she's swimming around like, oh. And then like a seaweed boner comes by and like sprays like foam at her face. And everything around her is just phallic imagery. There's a big dildo on the
There's
fucking...
also a dick during the wedding, I think.
Yeah, yeah, the priest gets a boner.
The priest gets a boner.
Because he's like, whoa, this girl with two legs and no voice is banging. The priest is all after Ariel, too.
I also get really annoyed. Girls at my workplace and girls like in my high school that worship Ariel.
Right.
You know, and I think it's a really bad message. You're sending the girls, that scene specifically, that men, we just want a girl that will just sing to us when we're passed out. You know, that the symbol of that is, please wait on us hand and foot, right?
Right.
Because these women become submissive.
Right.
And then they don't know why they're so fucking miserable.
And, like, let's, you know? Yeah, and it's the cartoonish bodily perfection.
Yeah.
That then these kids can't, you know, develop eating disorders. And...
Dude, I don't want a I don't want an anorexic, submissive woman. That's disgusting to
me. Speak for yourself.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Eric.
I'd always like an ambidextrous gymnast, triathlete, submissive fish woman. But, you know, I have a specific niche when I'm looking at pornography.
Oh, look, what I jack off to and what I want to talk to is different. But can you imagine having an interesting conversation with Ariel, the mermaid? Like, what happens after she becomes, like, hey, so what do you like to watch on TV? Oh, I just want to be with you.
Right.
Fuck, who wants that around all the time?
Oh, look, this is a comb. A goose once told me it was a snarf.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. Come
here. Thingamabubs? Oh, good. Cool. Anyway, that's
why don't you, like, hit your high note while I jab my fucking dick in your face. It's Disney Nazi prop boner science.
It's true.
To give kids unrealistic images of each other at school.
Yep.
You went to the East Coast this past year for your first white Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You saw snow.
Yep.
Did you go sledding?
No. I walked outside the snow for a little bit, watched it, but, you know, mostly stayed inside. It was really nice.
And you're like, oh, wow, a white Christmas. I've spent so much money to get here. Let me go upstairs and watch Raw.
Yeah, that's what I did. I watched Raw, and every now and then I look outside the window and go, oh, snow while I'm watching Raw. This is perfect.
Yeah. What about skiing? Would you ever do that? Or
no.
You can go to Mountain High. I went to Mountain High. It's 2 hours north of here. It's great. Skiing?
No, I would never ski.
Do you ever go to the beach?
I hate the beach. It's too sandy.
I agree. I hate the beach.
It's
too
dirty. Like, the food gets on your burger. Like, you know, the sand gets on your burger.
Right.
It has to be, so I just eat it. Like, is there any other instance in your life that you would... There's a window opens and a whiff of fucking sand hits your burger. Oh, well, I'm just like here. You know, it's disgusting.
And you get sand in your fries and...
And then you look out of the ocean and it feels like infinity and you get depressed. And
you can get bitten by a shark or an octopus couldn't go up your ass. There's a lot of variables out there.
Yeah, I hate the beach. I hate skiing. I don't know how to ride a bike. I once tried to skateboard and I fell on my elbow.
You don't know how to ride a bike?
No,
you can get
a
tandem bike and Kate Gary could get in the front of that.
I don't
know.
I don't think she knows how to ride a bike either.
Really?
Yeah.
Tandem bike's the one way to go.
Wait, so we can both fall off at the same time?
One person has to know. But if you don't know, and someone gets in the front of a tandem bike, they can take care of it, and then all you can get, you know, and then you can learn.
Dude, I'm so uncoordinated. I'm surprised my car doesn't flip over every time.
There's zero coordination. Once you get going a little bit, it works. It doesn't fall over. For some reason.
I don't believe you.
The only part of riding a bike is trusting this weird physics that doesn't seem to work. But the second you step on a pedal, it works.
It sounds stupid. Look, I fell off a bike with training wheels on it when I was like 6 years old. My dad told me to just quit. My dad has never
Your
been
Your dad told you to quit.
Well, my dad has always said, like, if you don't want to do it, then don't. He's always been the opposite of what other people say. Never give up, never, you know.
Now, what kind of Asian are you?
Vietnamese.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So there's always known like the work ethic of Asian people. Is that not Vietnam? Because it seems like they kicked the shit out of America. You know what I mean?
You know, I don't...
That just crazy work ethic you always hear where people, like, work themselves until their heart explodes in some cubicle job.
I think that that's true for most Asians, but...
Dad rebelled. Did he take LSD and he was like, whoa.
My parents are strangely... They're very conservative because they're Asian, but they're very, like, weirdly progressive in some way. Like, they know Kate's white and they don't really care. Because she makes me happy. They don't care that I do stand-up. They're supportive. So they're non-conventional Vietnamese people, but they don't speak any English at all. So I don't know.
What do they do?
My dad is a refrigerator repairman.
Mm-hmm.
He goes door-to-door and fixes... Well, he gets calls. He doesn't, like, knock on other people's doors one by one.
Hey, how's your fridge?
Yeah. Is your fridge running? It's like a prank call every time.
Right.
And my mom is, you know, she's a housewife.
Right.
By the way, when we talk about the Vietnam War, I always say that we lost, because I consider myself as American, and it confuses people.
Right. So you got Prozac, you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
What happened? Was there, like, kind of, like, an incident that kind of sparked where you realized you needed medicine?
Yeah, I think it was 27 years of complete just being a fucking mess, And I just kind of went to the doctor, and I said, I'm, you know, kind of depressed. They're like, oh, I'll give you some Prozac.
What doctor gave you that?
Some free clinic bullshit. I don't know her name.
How long? Oh, so you saw her for like 5 seconds and she's like, just gave me whoa, yeah, you're a fucking mess.
Well, she told me, she goes,
you need a lifetime of this drug.
Can I tell you the story of this? Okay. This is so fucking ridiculous. She goes, you know, your mom goes to a psychiatrist, which is, you're not supposed to tell people. It's doctor-patient right. confidentiality. Right. You go, what? He goes, oh, you didn't know? Here, let's bring her inside. And she brought my mom and goes, well, how come you didn't tell your son that you go to a psychiatrist? And then,
so your mom was out. Your mom drove you there
to the doctor, yeah. Right. And then I go, Mom, have you taken Prozac? She goes, yeah. And then she goes, yeah, your mom's taken Prozac for years, and so I'll give you some, I guess. It's probably
So the doctor went on the science side. Yeah, it's probably genetic. Like, yep. You're probably crazy. You made yep. him crazy yep. when you raised him. So
she seems very lazy because like I went back in for a refill. You know, after my refills ran out.
Right.
And she goes, is this Prozac still working? I'm like, it was. She goes, well, I'll just give you double the dosage. She's not even, like, seeing if I'm okay. She doesn't
Are you
do
reading
any...
up on Prozac as
no,
well to see
not
what
at
else
all.
Could do?
Nope.
You're not interested in what
that... No, I'm not. I, you know what? I've lived my life very restrained. And so, you know, if this fucks me up, it's another story on stage. You know?
You're a fucking maniac. You also did a group therapy open mic. That's kind of redundant because a lot of open mics are group therapy. But did it help?
The group therapy open mic? Yeah, I don't know
what
why they call
that?
It. I don't know why they call it that. It's it was just an open mic and they call it a group therapy. Mm-hmm. That was the best. That was probably the best that I had all year though. It was in front of 6 people.
And I just murdered it.
Oh, it was. And I wish that more people.
You're the king of those manic depressives.
Yeah. It was a black comedian. She made some kind of Korean shooting joke about
right.
me and
about you.
Yeah, yeah, and said so I couldn't get laid and I looked gay or something. I don't know, whatever. She was another comic, you know.
Right.
And then she left, and there was another black guy in the audience, and I just kind of went like, dude, what the fuck? I defend black people in class, and you guys still like, and this
throw me under the bus.
and I started just going like, you know, like I know you guys are treated worse, but at least you guys get like. You guys get some white guilt. We get none of it. And so I started doing a poll, and I asked a poll in the audience, hey, what are some Asian racial slurs? And everyone started yelling out, like, chink and gook. And then I said, hey, what are some black ones? And it was complete silence. And I went, oh, you won't say that shit, will you? And then the black guy was laughing so hard he said it hurt his stomach. And I was just so upset because there's not the first
there's
black...
There's a lot of hypocrisy. It's okay to pick on Asian people.
A lot of black comedians pick on me.
Right.
A lot of black ones. And so, like, I've started just going, like, dude... I think white people are the most evil. Like they're the last boss. If life were a game, but like if that's how I kind of see it. But I think blacks have become like number two in a
right,
way, in
yeah.
a weird way. Because it's like if it was Ninja Turtles, white people are Shredder, but black people are becoming Krang. That's what I'm saying. Like
right.
like and I don't mean that maliciously. I'm just saying like they're always fighting with each other. There was like black Santa, white Santa, right? And I'm like, dude, why do I have to pick one? I'd rather Santa not be white, but why does it mean I have to... He has to be black. Like,
right.
You know there's other groups in this country that are not just black and white, right? Like, mm-hmm. And I really want to hammer that home. And I was really doing that at that mic because I was just so... First of all, I was really fucking tired. You know when you're tired and another comic goes up and points at you and they're doing crowd work? It's like, dude, I'm a comic too.
Right.
I fucking hate it when another comic that doesn't know me does crowd work at
right.
me. And when I'm mad, people think it's really funny because I'm small.
Mm-hmm.
Even and so they're like, oh, he's playing it up. It's like, no, I was really fucking mad, but I know how to make it look like it's funny.
Uh-huh.
But nah, fuck that.
Yeah, you're a fucking monster.
No, I don't think so.
You had a pretty decent part in the new Duke Fightmaster movie called Pablo
yeah.
Steele,
yeah.
you know, with Evan Cassidy. We've had all those people on the podcast. How's that going? What, can you tell us anything from behind the scenes of Pablo Steele?
I loved it. I loved doing it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much I would love acting and... the process of movie making.
Right.
I didn't know how many shots he had to do, like different angles and everything.
Sure.
But man, I actually had a dream last night about Pablo Steele. The dream I had was that...
Was it a wet dream?
Yeah, I jerked off to Duke Fightmaster.
Did you dab your dick afterwards?
I dabbed my dick after the dream I had about Pablo. Yeah, Pablo
Steele.
What
happened in the dream?
What happened in the dream was that they cut my part out of the movie. And then I screamed and I said that was going to be my breakout role. I was so mad when I woke up.
Yeah?
I had to like go online and see if it was still like...
So what can you tell us? Do you know when it's going to be done? When it's going to premiere and
I
that stuff?
I think it's in post-production right now.
Sure.
I don't want to say too much, but I do think that like, from what I've seen that I was doing, I made myself laugh a bunch.
Right.
I play...
So you think that shit's gonna be hilarious when
dude,
that
I play the most pathetic character. Right. I'm really good at playing pathetic.
Was that a stretch for you? Did you really have to, like, research what pathetic people would do?
No.
Or did you just kind of wake up in your apartment?
I you know what I did? I channeled how I was, like, a couple of years ago.
Right.
And I channeled how I was in junior high.
Before you were transformed by the self-help book.
Yeah, I'm still a fucking spaz, but, you know, I was way worse a few years ago.
Right.
Very needy and very emotional and just very happy randomly and very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just an extension of what I am now.
You just went on a roller coaster.
But it's really fun to just go for help. Like, playing pathetic is really fun to do.
Right.
Because, you know, it's how I really feel sometimes, so why not make people laugh at it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, it was fun.
Cool, man. You also posted this to Facebook.
Oh, another one.
TMZ is everything that's wrong with America.
Yeah.
So you kind of, like, as a comic, you're kind of aspiring to, like, be in movies. Your acting is super fun. It's very fulfilling to work as an artist. But, you know, then you might have TMZ in your face, you know, jumping on your roof, taking photos. Is that the most disgusting thing? You got a famous face. I've seen you in the talkie screen. Snap, snap, snap.
It's
when you're like getting groceries or whatever.
Man, you know what? I hate the paparazzi, but in a way, I hate the people that watch it even more.
Mm-hmm.
If we weren't so obsessed with celebrities as a country, then it wouldn't fucking work, you know?
Right.
I'm not looking forward to that part of it if I ever become famous, you know? Like, I'm more like how, you know how Eminem is? Eminem is very just to himself. That's how I would want to be. Mm-hmm. Like, don't fucking bother me while I'm in public.
Right.
Like, look, I'm on stage, and when I'm on stage, I'm here for you, you know, and I'm here to make you happy for that time. I hate after shows when I have to shake hands. And hey, this is no offense to anyone else. I'm just awkward. I don't like to, hey, good job, man. That was really funny. And like, oh, cool. And then they stand there, and they're like waiting. I'm like, dude, I got nothing else for you. I left it all on the stage.
Right.
I have
right.
nothing else funny to say. If you want me to still be on, fucking come to my next show.
Yeah.
And, so, like, you know, TMZ, they come at you with the camera, like, hey, you know, what do you think about the Miley Cyrus? And then, like, oh, I don't know, it's stupid. Robert Trent says it was stupid. It's like, all great. And then people pick up on the story.
Yeah.
They share it with their friends. And
yeah.
It's so stupid. It's a big waste of time. I actually watched it by accident. I was not at home. I was, like, at, like a doctor's
Is this
office.
Your cover story for how you?
No,
like,
no.
I didn't try to dab my dick. Okay, the TV was on. TMZ was there. I wasn't trying to see that.
No, I don't really watch TV anymore. It was like on like at the doctor's office, and I was on my phone.
Right.
And it was like one of those things.
Right before you got your Prozac, you were seeing TMZ, and you're like, I need fucking happy pills because this shit is bumming me out.
Yeah, that's a good callback, man.
Five incredible and real mind control applications. So, okay, so technology is buzzing along. Now our neurotic brains are going to have to, like, control computers and stuff like that. So there's this new EEG headwear device that record electric signals produced from your brain. And so you can, like, now operate a computer. You know, you can click a mouse or do things like that. Like, they're making operating systems. And there's this other thing called Mind Ensemble, which is music in neutral dimensions, where people just produce music from their brain. If you can, like, play a song in your head, you can start to compose it onto a fucking GarageBand timeline.
Wow.
From your head, man.
Wow.
Put that shit on Mozart. Tunes are gonna be coming out that guy's fucking ass all day.
Yeah, wow. I don't know if this is a good thing. I think it's impressive, but...
Yeah.
We've gotten so, like, lazy already.
Uh-huh.
And so now,
well, you could just, like, sit on your lazy boy and just order food while just going, I'm on the internet right now. Click, click. Pizza's coming my way. You never have to move.
we constantly need, I don't know about you, but I'm always checking my phone for, like, the red notification thing on my Facebook, which I didn't do a year ago.
Right.
You know, because I didn't have a cell phone that did that.
Right.
Now I need it. Now I need
have
it.
Always
right?
have access.
It didn't make me any happier.
Right.
So now it's another example of that. You know, and back then it was like, getting a DVD and just watching it, that was a lazy thing to do now, right? But now we're too lazy to get up and put the DVD in the fucking thing.
I just want it beamed to my head.
I want it on Netflix
right
now, you know? And
right,
now we have, like, voice-operated Xboxes.
Uh-huh.
It's like, none of this stuff is making us any happier. Everything is becoming more convenient so that we can do more shit to stress ourselves out.
Right.
That's all it is, right?
Because we always want more.
We always want more.
And
it's
we
a
have
trap.
To have a productive day that day.
It's a complete trap. And, like, I actually miss, you know, I'm going to sound like an old guy, like Andy Rooney or something, you know, but I miss writing letters. mailing it out, and you would wait, and you would get the mail. It's fucking awesome.
Right.
Now it's like, back then it was emails, right? Now we can just Facebook message each other. And it's like on your phone and on your computer and on your PS3.
Just for free all day, instant communication.
Like who needs all that?
And the time people put in writing stuff, it's like garbledygook now. They don't even write full words.
Nope.
Pizza face now, me hungry. Where?
I remember like there was this movie called Extract, and there was a great idea that I wanted to do. It was these two rednecks going like, hey, we're out of Pepsi. Should we call Domino's and order more? Like, they just wanted to call Domino's and order the soda. They get delivered to them. And I actually thought, that sounds like a great idea.
You have to order at least $10 worth for free delivery, right? So they...
Yeah.
Let's get four soda bottles. This guy called Scorcini, sounds like an Italian, won an AT&T mobile app contest. He was granted $30,000 of prize money to make a mobile device that would have no user input. So your iPhone, you just control with your head too, you know?
My God.
You can also there's 3D printing technology, you know, how you can like print with like plastics or whatever, just print out any kind of graphic design shape, use a computer-aided drawing machine with your head and make something, and then it'll print it now in 3D printing technology.
Yeah, this is what I think Jeff Dunham uses this for his ventriloquist dolls.
Oh yeah,
it's amazing. It's basically you're using you can transport things right from one area to another. So I think this is what people were saying about this is really bad for the gun control thing.
Right.
Because you can actually print out guns now with 3D printers.
And you don't have to go to a fucking gun store.
No, you don't. And again, I don't know
if you had an anything printer machine.
Yeah.
You can print all your own appliances. Oh, I need a microwave. Bow.
And then now we can just have more shit to make us unhappy.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating technology. I'm not trying to like say fuck technology, but like, do you think this is good? Like, do you think this is useful?
It's interesting. It just seems like what's happening, and you can't stop it. You can't stop these things. It's going to get easier and easier. And I think also what's terrifying to me is it seems like the biggest problem is the financial system. It's not set up where, like, you know, it used to be where you would patent things, and then that would, and then the most competitive person would get their product out there. But now I think because, and in my opinion, a lot of inventions have been suppressed, like free energy technology, because they think it would ruin the economy if we weren't perpetually burning gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it would only ruin the economy for like fucking sociopathic, corporations own Monsanto, Blackwater, and drone projects.
Yeah,
and
just heartless robots, right?
Just bioengineering dogs to shoot lasers and bullets so they can send them in Iraq and be like, oh, these are casualties of war. Let's pump more fucking chaos energy into the fucking solosphere of this earth, you know?
It is. We're one step away from being like what the Steve Urkel inventions were, you know? When he would just make a transformation device. And yeah, this is not good. It's scary and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's happening at like a more rapid speed every year.
Humanity should start to see the benefits, and the benefit should be leisure time. Leisure time should be the benefit of automated processes where you have a washing machine and a dryer, and that actually saves you time so you can enjoy yourself more, you can educate yourself more. But I think people, like, rents are such, and the financial industry is such, where kind of it has to, there's constantly this Ponzi scheme going to the richest people, and you know, it's people aren't bent being able to enjoy these technologies.
Have you ever like just left your house and just I'm gonna put my phone home at home?
Right, it's terrifying.
It's terrifying, but also, like, if you do it for a while, you're like, this is the most amazing. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to worry about who's calling me or who's texting me.
Or what, NSA agent is, like looking through the camera phone of your iPhone, as it's in your pocket, and a flash goes off and sees your dick.
But, you know, every now and then, I just want to, like, me and Kate, I'm like, I like talking to her. I love talking to her. Yeah. She's really a good conversationalist back and forth. And every now and then I'm like, oh, should we be doing something else?
Are you sure? You look kind of upset.
Since, like, why don't you slow down?
Right.
You're talking to the person that you love.
Right.
But in my head, I'm like, oh, but we could, like, be driving into this right now, listen to music and turn on Netflix and, like, fucking slow down.
Yeah.
You know? And I wish that I didn't have the impulse to do more. You know, I want to slow down a lot. And I wish everybody else did, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got ourselves in a damn hurry all of a sudden. You can also drive a wheelchair or a car with this new technology, so you can like hook up your car to your brain. They're saying that this is for disabled people, but if someone is, their body is disabled, and they're just like this like floating head in a car, like drooling, but like going 60, like, you know, the disabled might have some other complication that go, like their heart could explode or whatever. So their brain shouldn't be making these rapid fire decisions, perhaps. I don't think wiring their brain directly to the car is the best idea. The wheelchair, I get it.
Yeah.
But also, you know, in Serbia, you can rent a car that flames shoot out the side of it because there's so many looters. Yeah. So you imagine like a handicapped person driving an electric car around. They're just like a Bond supervillain. You're like, oh, there's people are coming for me. Murder them. Drive away. Like, they're just doing this all in their mind without even fucking moving.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Hey, but at least they get some comeuppance.
Make my fucking dash. Everyone's dead around me. I'm getting out of here.
You're actually selling me on this idea because I think they deserve some some revenge for the way the world's treated them.
Yeah, because I think a Serbian gangster's like that person's handicapped. I don't. They're barely driving that car. This person's gonna be easy to.
I think they deserve five free kills. Yeah, and after that, then they get put in jail.
But that's the thing. It's self-defense, you know.
Yeah.
But after five deaths, it's like, hey, you just like putting people on fire.
Yeah, this is no longer cool.
They're also making bionic limbs that can feel. You know, they strap a bionic limb to you. You control it with your mind.
Oh, my God.
And then you can actually touch it when, you know what.
I think that's actually pretty cool.
That is badass.
Yeah, I think
that's exactly what science should be doing.
I think you can use technology to benefit people.
Yeah,
you know, and that's good.
Imagine when that shit gets seamless and like you lose a leg, and then they're like, oh yeah, here's a fucking robot arm.
Yeah,
that is Star Wars shit.
But then it's gonna be Jackass. Is gonna be a really interesting show. Like, I'm Johnny Knoxville. I'm gonna cut off a limb,
right?
Cut off his leg and reattach it. That's gonna be the new pranksters and shit they're gonna be doing.
And look at like the $7 million man. Like, if you have all bionic limbs, what if they were super powerful?
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Little Robert Tran can like throw someone over a building or something, you know?
Yeah, and
you could just be like a quadriplegic, but really,
yeah,
a superhero.
I'm dabbing my dick. You can't judge me, and I just throw them out of the bathroom window and kill them.
Yeah. Well, are you masturbating in the urinal? I was dabbing my dick. You're dead. Escape now.
Yeah. Exactly right.
You know, you just. So here's another news story, a very important news story. Pregnant woman attacks roommate over butter. So, you know, we're all broke here. We all have to have roommates. We got to deal with each other. A lot of people need their own caves. You know, they're crazy people that need their own space. So when one roommate left butter on the stove, it just melted all over the stove. It's pregnant roommates. Like, you know, she's got problems. If you're pregnant and you have roommates, you know, you got problems right off the jump there.
Yeah.
And she's gone crazy hormones because of it. And she's like, you left butter! And then she just started attacking. And,
did she kill her?
She had that Mountain Morrison. So she, like, got full mount on her, if you know UFC style, and just started punching her. You know? Yeah. So that's a pretty good, that's a pretty dominant position there.
I don't condone violence, but as somebody that cooks, like, you know, she got what she had coming, dude. Like, you don't leave butter on the fucking pan. That's I hate it when people fuck up the kitchen. Yeah. And you know, she's pregnant and she had hormones, so I'm actually 100% in favor of this pregnant woman.
Yeah, she was
beating the shit out of this woman, this poor woman.
In the red corner, preggers.
I'm gonna get a lot of victim blaming emails now. Yeah. Blaming the victim.
So here's a story out of Florida. Florida man steals massage oil, condoms, energy drinks from Walmart, says cop. So this guy had a full night planned.
He did.
And he's like, hey, I got a romantic date over. I don't have $25. So it's going to start with the energy drink.
Yeah.
You know, because she's going to be late, so I want to stay up. Plus, this meth is wearing off. I got condoms. And I got massage oil. I'll rub her down, and then she'll be like, put it in me. I got this all figured out.
Yeah, except the getaway he didn't have figured out.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that sounds really, like, this guy doesn't seem like a winner, you know? Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the money for it, but he has the energy.
Yeah, well, now he does because he stole it.
Yeah.
Stole his energy.
That's a great story. He probably has blue balls right now in jail. Thought he was going to get laid. Yeah. Or maybe he was going to find a woman. That's even more horrifying.
He's like, I'm going to steal from this Walgreens, and I'm going to grab that bitch on the corner.
Find a woman, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's even worse.
He, like, spotted her on the way in.
Yeah, what a creep.
And then he pretended, like, he always needs a cover story, you know? So he's like, he saw that she was near, like, a post box. He's like, I'm going to take a napkin out, pretend to put an envelope in.
Yeah.
Then it's actually got chloroform on it. I put it over her mouth. Yeah. I throw it in the trunk.
But too bad it was the pregnant woman. She mounted him and just beat the shit out of him. You stole his energy drink. It was mine.
What if someone caught you, you know, putting someone in the car? What would be your cover story?
If someone caught me stealing?
A lady.
If someone caught me stealing a lady?
Yeah.
I don't want to...
What would your cover story be, you know? You always have to have a cover story going to that.
No, I would just go, oh, you caught me.
Oh, TMZ was just on there. You know, I wasn't trying to watch it. TMZ was just on, you know? That's your cover story for that.
I'm almost positive I would never steal a lady. So I don't know how to put my...
Robert Tran. You can see him in Pablo Steel. You can see him on the Power Couples podcast, but that's not anymore. Only 3 episodes of that.
Yeah, that one's done.
They're rare, so each of those are worth a lot of money.
They are.
Because that's a rare podcast to get.
If you would like to give me $50 for the episode, I would...
He's charging now for him.
Gladly oblige.
Hey, I got a web series coming out very soon. It's called Here Comes Godot. We're going to throw them all online at once. There's 16 episodes of that. Check out Theater of the Deranged 2. It's a DVD of short films that I hosted as a character called Damien Shadows. It's coming out May 10th. James Colin Brusick produced that as well. A guy called Colin McDowell edited it. So well done there. He did a great job putting it together. So check out Theater of the Deranged 2. What else going on? Also, yeah, I'm starting to get booked at Flappers again. So check out dates. I have one date, but it's when this podcast comes out, it'll be past that. But check out the tour dates section at erichollerbach.com. I'm always performing stand up like at least once a month. You can check me get a spot there. So, and you know, what do you run any mics or anything like that?
No, I used to, but no, not anymore.
No.
No.
Past, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So check out Robert Tran, do some stand up, you know? Yeah. Check your listings there.
Robert Tran 04 on Twitter and Facebook. That's where you can find all of my dates and everything.
Sweet. And click through the Amazon link on the Highway Diary RSS feed and give a little bit of money back to the show. Although the ancient alien overlord who runs Amazon, basically, they're getting most of the cash. All right? So that's how that Ponzi scheme works. Thanks to my guest, Robert Tran.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.